Well, I know why you've come this morning. You've come this morning because you want to see all 1,125 pictures I took last week on my vacation to the Holy Land. Well, don't worry, I brought them all, so buckle up, it might be a while. It has been a rather exciting 10 days for many members in our congregation. In fact, 13 Pinehurst United Methodist members, along with 4 Southern Pine United Methodist members, traveled over to the Holy Land from the northern part of the Sea of Galilee down to the southern part of Jerusalem to see all of the high and holy places of the Christian faith. You know, last Saturday, I was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. On Monday, I was celebrating communion at the empty tomb. On Wednesday, I was 30,000 feet above the Atlantic Ocean. And on Thursday, I was back in my office responding to the 374 emails I missed while I was away. You know, trips like this are fun while they last, but of course, the truth is they don't last forever. They can't last forever. Sooner or later, you have to come back home. Sooner or later, you have to go back and do that thing you used to do before you set out on your adventure. Sooner or later, you have to return to normal life. After all, you come home and the credit card bill is still due on the 11th of the month. Come home and the yard is still a mess. You come home and there's still 2 weeks' worth of mail that need to be sorted. Sooner or later, things just need to return to normal. Right? Well, if you don't believe me, you can just talk to the disciples about that. You see, for 3 years, the disciples followed Jesus everywhere he went, from the northern part of the Sea of Galilee down to the southern part of Jerusalem. For 3 years, they were exposed to some of the greatest teaching the world has ever known. For 3 years, the disciples saw Jesus perform miracle after miracle after miracle everywhere he went. Feeding the 5,000, water into wine, healing the sick, they saw it. Firsthand, they saw it. They were there. In fact, the disciples had the privilege of being beside Jesus during the last week of his life. On Thursdays, they celebrated communion with him at the Last Supper. On Friday, some of them stood at the foot of the cross. On Sunday, the angel announced to them, he is risen indeed. And on Monday, Peter turned to his friends and said, I'm going fishing. Did you catch it? Did you see what just happened there? What does Peter do as soon as the resurrection is over? What does Peter do as soon as Easter Sunday has passed? He goes fishing. He goes back to doing that exact same thing he used to do before he set out on his adventure. He goes back to life as normal. After all, that's who Peter was before he became a disciple. First and foremost, he was a fisherman. Jesus says to him, Peter, have you caught any fish? Now, here's my question for you this morning. My question is this: why did Peter and the disciples go fishing after Easter Sunday? Why weren't they out there preaching and teaching in all of the villages, letting them know that he is risen indeed? After all, isn't that the command Jesus gave to his disciples? Didn't he commission them to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? So why did they go back to life as usual? You would think they would be changed by the experience of the resurrection. You think that their lives would somehow be different after they saw the power of God's love triumph over the evils of the world. You think something would be different. But Peter said to the disciples, I'm going fishing. Guess I'm just wondering why. Well, I can't think about this passage of Scripture without thinking about a Bible study I was in once that was looking at this 21st chapter of John's Gospel. The Bible study, it was composed of a group of pastors, and we were asking the same question of Peter and the disciples. We were asking, you know, why did they go back to normal life so quickly? Why weren't they out there in the villages telling people about God's love? And truth be told, we were all ganging up on Peter. We were giving him a hard time about his lack of faith, his fickleness, and well, we didn't think much of him until all of a sudden someone in our group raised her hand. And she said, you know, I don't think we're giving Peter and the disciples nearly enough credit. She said, didn't Jesus meet Peter for the very first time while he was out fishing on the Sea of Galilee? Well, we all nodded our head, yes, that's exactly where they met. Well, she said to us, well, did it ever occur to you that maybe, just maybe, the reason Peter wanted to go fishing that morning was simply because he was hoping that Jesus might meet him there again? Huh. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, here I thought this was a story all about a group of disciples who were running away from Jesus, but maybe that's not what this story is about at all. In fact, maybe this is a story about a group of disciples who desperately want to be found by Jesus again. After all, the disciples had followed Jesus for 3 years. For 3 years, they shared everything with him. They were by his side everywhere he went. And then like that, things were different. After Easter, things were different. He wasn't with them, at least not in the same way he had been with them before. Maybe the disciples simply missed him. And so maybe they went back to the one place where they knew they could find him again. In her 1999 best-selling book, Traveling Mercies, Christian author Anne Lamott tells a story of a 7-year-old girl who decided to go on a walk throughout her neighborhood one afternoon. The girl was walking, and she took a turn down a side street she had never been down before, and then another turn after that, and another turn after that, and before she realized it, well, she became lost. She kept wandering around the neighborhood for an hour, looking for some landmark that would lead her home, but of course, nothing looked familiar. She didn't know where to go. Eventually, as she was walking, a police officer came by. He looked and saw this little girl. He could tell something wasn't right and that she was afraid. He stopped, and he asked if she needed help. She explained what had happened, and he offered to take her home, only the problem was the girl didn't know her street address. So the officer put her in the front seat of the car. He drove around the neighborhood. He told her, when you see your house, just tell me which one it is. I'll pull in and drop you off there. But she never saw her house. This continued for some time. Eventually, the officer gave up hope. He thought he'd have to take the girl in. He was about to radio in and tell his superiors what had happened when all of a sudden the girl looked out the window and she said, stop, stop right here. The officer said, do you see your house? Which one is it? I'll pull into the driveway. And the girl said, no. And she said, no, but over there on that corner, well, that's my church. And you see, I can always find my way home from there. Yes, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. But even during this season of Easter, there are all times when we all can't help but feel a little bit lost. There are all times when we can't help but feel like our faith isn't what it used to be. There are times when we feel like we're just wandering through this life and we don't know whether to go left or to go right. And when those times come, when those times of uncertainty come, well, the only thing left for us to do is to return to the one place God has promised to meet us again and again and again. And so we show up at church. We show up in this very ordinary community. We show up in this place surrounded by the saints of old. And we sing our alleluias anyway. No matter what good thing or bad thing is going on in our life, we sing our praise anyway. Because we know this is the place where Jesus finds us. This is the place where he encounters us again and again. This is a place where Jesus meets us. In bread and wine, he meets us. In prayer and in thanksgiving, he meets us. In warm smile and strong handshakes, he meets us. Right here, right in this very place. And if you listen closely this morning, you might just hear his voice. You might just hear your name being called from the shore as he offers you the words you need of hope, of peace, of encouragement, the words you need to keep moving forward. You just might hear his voice. "Do you see your house?" the officer asked the little girl. And she said, "No. But I see my church. I see my church, and I can always find my way home from there." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? God of grace and God of mercy, we thank you that even in our wandering, you are there. We thank you, Lord, that even when we are lost, you have come to find us. That you are the shepherd who seeks the lamb. You are the woman who searches for the coin. You are the loving father who embraces the prodigal. And so we pray, O Lord, you would embrace us this day and that you would speak our name and that indeed we might hear your voice. We thank you, Lord, for this community of faith that offers us the hope we need to keep moving forward. Amen.